My pastor, when I used to be in the church choir, and I would be in choir rehearsal, the pastor would be like, Sister Rochelle, could you come down here for a second? You know what would be beautiful? If you dance a solo while the choir sung. That's how the dance ministry started. You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I started the dance ministry at my home church.
Oh, my goodness.
The Lord is leading you to be. To move. See, you got to know where, you're, where you are, where your gifts are. Mm-hmm. See, that's you can't be leading the song and you an usher.
Right.
Welcome to Artistry Avenue, a Reclaiming Our Time Productions podcast, where we examine the intersection between theater and social issues. This is Natasha A. Jackson. I'm the executive director of Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
I'm J. Marjorie Henderson. I'm the artistic director for Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
And I'm J. Rochelle Fowler, marketing director of Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
And I am Juan Isler, technical director for Reclaiming Our Time Production.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another podcast.
Here we are again.
Yes, we are. Well, today's episode is going to be, why can't I speak? Why can't I speak?
Why?
Juan, why can't I speak?
Ooh, that is a, that's an interesting question. Why can't I speak? I think more people are concerned with the repercussions of what will happen when they speak than what it is that they feel they need to speak for. I personally am thankful that there were a few people who spoke for me even before I was born so that I could be sitting where I'm sitting today.
You better talk about
it. For some reason, I know personally I've been told not to speak. And in theater specifically, which I think is the most ridiculous thing, I don't understand why that is the norm. We have critics who critique local community productions, and they write the nastiest reviews. And the minute that someone wants to say something, what we're told is, well, don't say anything. That's just their way. Well, why can't I speak? They spoke in their review, in their article, and said some pretty nasty things. Why can't I speak? You know, or I'm told, well, don't say anything to that artistic director or to that director or to the people of that company, because you might not get any work anymore and they might blackball you. So my values are to be neglected so that someone else can shine. I don't think so.
I think you bring up a good point.
But my name.
Keep going. You have nothing but your name.
Okay. I have nothing but my name and my integrity. And if you insult either one of those and I don't say anything, then I don't even own those.
Or value.
So, you're right. So blackball me if you must, but what you're not going to do is have a personal attack on me. And unfortunately, we have people in all industries that happens to them. And the ones who do it continue to do it because no one calls them out on what they're doing. The only way we can get ahead is if we stop being ashamed of ourselves and who we are and what we do and speak up for ourselves.
I agree. I think a lot of times we are put in places where folks expect us to silence our voices because sometimes we choose to because we don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable.
That's what I was going
to
say.
But sometimes you got to make people feel uncomfortable for change to be, you know, for change to come into fruition. Because we have to, if you don't elevate your voice, no one else will. Like, you have to value who you are. You have to value what you have to say. And you have to value your presence in spaces. And even if it makes other folks uncomfortable. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with you being uncomfortable, because maybe your discomfort will lead to you making some changes or making you doing some self-reflection and looking at something from a different perspective.
I think we mentioned it in a previous episode, how they want our presence but not our voices, mm-hmm. because they know that there's merit to our voices. We come through a pipeline of people who were enslaved, who mm-hmm. were embattled and put upon for years. And so our voice has merit to it. What we're saying has a merit to what's going on. So I think they try to silence us because they know if we say enough, I think we may have lost one, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But if we say enough, someone's going to take hold to it. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a problem for them.
Right.
Because they can't, because what we have, what our voices mean and what our voices have gone through to get out the words that we're saying is going to cause them to have to reflect on themselves.
Right.
And I think theater does, because we're talking about theater and social issues. Mm-hmm. Theater is the mirror to society. And when you show somebody themselves, that's very scary.
Right.
To see yourself and know that you might be the problem, that's a very scary thing to come to grips with.
And so I have, I don't want to say a mixed thoughts on that, or maybe a catch 22 on that. My thoughts are, so for me, I'm a pick and choose my battles. Mm-hmm. And I know I've had a couple of situations, and when I say recent, I would say the past couple of years, situations where I have been, I will say, treated or talked to a certain way. And one, I chose to respond. Mm-hmm. The other, I thought about it, and truth be told, I was pissed. Right. I was pissed about a tone that was used in an email exchange. And I thought about it, and I said, something in my spirit said, don't
respond.
Don't respond. And I sat back, and karma did its own thing, and I didn't need to speak. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think that I should feel comfortable with speaking when I want to speak. And not have silent. It, yes, and not have any repercussions. But it should be my choice. But it shouldn't be, don't say anything, or that, because that theater company may not use you again, or that person may not want to work with you again, mm-hmm. because you called them out. Mm-hmm. But then the question becomes, what message are we sending when we don't speak?
Mm. Right.
And I think there's a way you can craft things in a way mm-hmm. to say what needs to be said without actually saying it mm-hmm. sometimes. And that's not to say censor yourself, but I think there's an it's all in the approach.
The approach.
Right. Because if you just blatantly go out and just say, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that classifies you as maybe unprofessional or maybe uncouth.
Problematic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Problematic. And we get that word difficult. Difficult. You get that word very easily.
Just aggressiveness,
right?
Mm-hmm. Our presence alone.
So I think it you have to play the game by playing the game, if that makes any sense.
I know this was something Juan was going to bring up, that it's a shared experience that we had, and Juan may join us and reiterate it as well. But we both were in a theater production where the content was had a lot of racial situations in it. And it was the issue brought up about using the N-word. And Juan and I, who were represented two of the Black characters in this play, we shared our experiences, right, with the use of the word and why it's important to go ahead and use it at the beginning, at the onset of rehearsals, so we can get used to hearing it from our counterpart. When Juan shared his experience immediately after that, for the next 2 weeks of rehearsal, all the white characters stopped speaking to him. They kind of shunned him. And we didn't understand why. Because he just shared his experience. He shared how he felt about it. And instead of the other characters, white characters, actors, receiving it, or, you know, like if you had questions or if you didn't understand it, approaching him, they shunned him. Until we had another meeting 2 weeks prior with a professional mental health professional who also helped, you know, facilitate the conversation. It wasn't until then that one or two of the white actors came back and apologized to Juan for shunning them, because it was the first time their biases, their unconscious as well as explicit biases, was brought to the forefront, and they didn't know how to receive it. They didn't know how to have that conversation. And so instead of having the conversation, it was more comfortable for them to just shun and act like it didn't occur.
Right.
And we got to get past that. We got to get past the fear of having these uncomfortable conversations, because that's the only way that we want to move forward. You're never going to understand my perspective if I can't share it.
Right.
And that's actually what I was going to say about reclaiming having these podcasts, these discussions, that discomfort and making people uncomfortable, because you're never going to get comfortable until you have those conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think that discomfort also means you have to go through your own inventory.
Yes.
And be honest with yourself. And that's where I think the problem with speaking out comes into play.
For sure.
And what I would be curious is your thoughts are, why is it that when one speaks out, the others that try to shush them, is that because it's making them uncomfortable? Because they're not ready to go through their inventory? Are they not willing to accept the truth of matter?
Well, I think the worst upset you can be is to be upset with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to go through life with yourself.
Right.
You go to bed with yourself, you wake up with yourself. And when you realize the preconceived notions that you have are wrong, mm-hmm. are incorrect, and that you're ignorant to some things, mm-hmm. that's a hard pill to swallow.
It is.
It's very much so. And to go back on what you and Juan experienced, the house looks cleaner if mm-hmm. you just sweep the dirt under the rug.
And act like it didn't exist.
But you know what? You're going to keep sweeping under that rug, and our pile going to get bigger, and you're going to be tripping over it.
But let me just add this point to it. Sometimes we are hindrance to ourselves, because just like Juan and I spoke up in that space, there were other Black actors that came to us and was like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Why would you say that? Or either they did that, or they invalidated our mm-hmm. experience by saying, well, it don't bother me. Because when you give them permission, other folks permission to disrespect mm-hmm. you or to invalidate your feelings, then that makes it harder for those of us who do speak up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because when that one Black actor told the rest of the cast that it wasn't an important issue, it didn't bother them.
Oh, wow.
That invalidated me and Juan's experience. And I know sometimes it's a generational thing, right? Because sometimes you can be so far removed from what you consider racism or oppression because you may not have experienced it in your life.
Firsthand.
Yeah. Firsthand. Mm-hmm. Or you don't have that secondhand knowledge that your parents or your grandparents shared with you. Right. Because Juan and I were old enough that that's real, that we've lived it, firsthand. So for someone who was two generations or, you mm-hmm. know, 20 years younger than us, who may not have had that experience, it's unfair to invalidate someone else's.
I think what the issue from my perspective, if that is because people who are outside of the culture mm-hmm. generalize us as one thing.
Right.
So that one voice, because it has merit, because it has power, now all of you are the exact same. They feel as if, because they think we're a monolith, because one person feels this way, you all feel that way. So that person, the person that would went against you all, that were a part of the culture, mm-hmm. they knew the power of what you said, mm-hmm. how it's going to affect everybody in the room, because we're not seen as individuals.
Right. And they didn't want to be
uncomfortable. That's the sad part.
I was going to say that they probably didn't want to be uncomfortable, but not only that probably I'm assuming, I don't mm-hmm. know, but mm-hmm. my assumption would be they probably walk through life compartmentalizing those things. And then that way you don't have to deal with it. And I mean, all of us being humans there are certain things we just don't want to deal with. So we just compartmentalize, and that's how we go through life.
Right. Just because it makes it easier.
It makes it easier. So those things that we just don't want to touch, we mm-hmm. don't. And we take down, you know, we take and make them less powerful or unimportant, downplay them.
That is part of what I'm saying in my mind. People can tell you that fire is hot all day.
Mm-hmm.
But until you put your hand in that fire and find out for yourself what it feels like.
Right.
Right.
Right. So I think sometimes people, they don't want to get into those fiery situations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So rather than touching the fire, they just going to take your word and say, oh, if I do this, this is going to happen. Why not spark? Be the spark. Come on here. Why not be the spark for the fire? What you said?
Yes. Because think about it. We're working in a theater community where you expect me as an actor to be my most vulnerable, mm-hmm. to get into this character, mm-hmm. and we can't have that hard conversation.
Right.
You expect me to be vulnerable and you can't hear me?
And how do you expect the audience to take anything from it if you haven't experienced it yourself? Right.
And we can't talk about
it. We have to be the first partakers. I'm going to go to church.
Come on.
And we ain't talking about the church yet, but that's where I'm going.
Yes.
That's where I'm going.
Go there. Because it's all intertwined.
What you said.
Because we are not
it's
one
sanctuary.
Dimension. No, we're not
it's
one
a sanctuary.
Let's talk about that.
What you said. Come on here. Where we at?
Let the church say amen.
Right. He done had a shouting moment. Here. He done had a shouting what? Moment in there.
Cue the praise break, Petey.
Oh my gosh, that but you know what, that is so, it's so real.
Yeah,
it is so real. And then one of the other things, I have so many things going through my head right now, but one of the things that I'm thinking about is that why we see repetitiveness in productions? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We go with the productions,
safe options,
as
the
opposed
safe actors.
Mm-hmm, exactly. As opposed to, does that fall into why we see, well, we have certain theater companies and to each their own. Mm-hmm. They have, this is what our motto is. This is the type of, these are the only types of productions we want to do. We want to stay safe. Then you have those that will branch out and like, let's try this and see how it goes.
Right, see how it lands.
You know, and you know, it's going to work or it's not going to work. And then we have those that say, okay, we know that if we put on something, we put on The Color Purple, if we do August,
anything August Wilson,
Dream Girls, A Raisin in the Sun,
mm-hmm. we're safe.
Yeah, we're safe.
And
we're not
check the DEI box.
We're gonna check the boxes. We're not gonna offend anyone because everybody knows these ones,
mm-hmm. and so comfortable with it.
We're comfortable. The community knows them well enough, so that's comfortable. And you have directors that will only cast certain people. You see it. Whenever mm-hmm. you see a certain mm-hmm. director directing something, you know who they're going to cast.
Or a certain company.
Or a certain company. Yes. So you have so much comfortability.
Even though they still have auditions. That's another conversation.
It's been precast and they said nothing.
But you know what? If you mm-hmm. precast and you say this role has been precast, I have no problem with that. Respect. Right. But you do have some that don't do that.
Right.
Because at this point, you're wasting my time and yours.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And no one cares that you precast. Just say it.
Right. Just say it.
I'd rather know than not to know. And then, right. And then I'm here hoping.
Right.
And making myself vulnerable in front of you with a 2-minute monologue.
Right. That you
and
don't
nothing's
going
to come of this.
That right. means nothing.
I'm wasting right. my time, my gas.
Right.
For something that's not going to
work. Just say that you just need ensemble.
Yeah. But right. why can't we speak?
Why
can't we speak about those things? The minute we speak about those things,
then we're the problem.
We're the problem. And the person or persons or groups, they're the victim.
They're the victim.
I'm going to step
on the other side. You can't be a perpetrator and a victim at the same time.
I'm going to step on the other side of the line too, though, because I think a lot of times those shows get so much play. And I think the same thing's happening in Hollywood. People want to know that what they're going to get a return on investment. Mm-hmm. They know that those audiences are going to show up for those shows. We see it, of course, yeah. as the actors, like, why are we doing that show again?
Again.
But mm-hmm. the companies know, hey, we're putting all this money into this. People going to come see. We need to get our money back.
Yeah, because bottom line,
it's a business.
It's a business.
And that's not me giving them a way out. I just think that that's how they're looking at things. But I know there's a frustration with us is because, like, there's so many more stories that we can tell.
So many about stories.
And it doesn't have to be traumatic.
Right. I was about to say that. Jeez. It does not have to be traumatic.
Because if I see Celie one more time,
listen.
I mean, we went from purple to lilac to violet.
Right.
How many shades of purple we gonna do?
Yeah. Right.
And I love that story.
I love it.
But
there's so many.
Alice Walker got other stories that can be told.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
And August Wilson is not the only black playwright.
I'm gonna go say nope. Never mind. Nope.
And I love August.
Yes. Yes, we love.
There are other months.
There.
Come on. Come on.
Oh my God. See, this podcast gonna get us in trouble.
It's gonna get us in trouble. Does February equal August?
I don't know.
Black History Month equal August.
Is there a February Wilson?
Right.
Right.
You know, there probably is somewhere, though.
It might be. I mean, May, August, and June.
Yes. Right.
But yeah, so
we can elevate other stories.
We can.
We can elevate other playwrights.
And actors.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we are saturated with talent.
Saturated,
which you wouldn't know.
Moist,
very moist with talent. I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh,
we are in this area alone, and we are a small area. There's a lot of theater here.
It's a lot of theater,
and here in the Raleigh, Durham,
and this is not just tarnish anybody. I know we're brand new, but every week is somebody else. Mm-hmm. Every week. And my thing is, why is that? Why is it that we have to create why is it that we feel the need to go and create our own stuff because we are being heard elsewhere?
There's a gap.
Yeah, that's right. What it is. That is, even with Reclaiming and some of the other companies that have popped up, I think it's because, okay, we see a gap. Mm-hmm. So let's fill it.
Let's fill the gap.
Let's try to fill the gap.
But are we making our own gaps?
Right. Are we creating our own spaces, our own lanes?
Right. Is that really what we're... Because I think, are we really filling those gaps, or are we just doing something because I'm not making... I didn't make the cut here, so I'm going to go ahead and do something else.
So I can be and the cut.
Because I know I've worked with a company who formed, did one show, and then just completely vanished. Mm-hmm. And it was because the people who were at the top weren't getting the work that they thought that they should be getting. So I'm going to showcase myself and make all these other people with me and make it look like something that it's not.
Yeah.
So I don't want...
It's the motive, the intention.
Right, right. So we make sure... So if you're going to speak, make sure you have something to say.
Right.
That's where I wanted to get to.
And who's your audience?
Right. Because if you're just doing this for yourself, that's self-serving.
Right, get in the mirror.
That's not what this is about.
Right.
All right.
We're here to serve others.
Right.
Right.
And the arts. It's supposed to be for everybody. It's supposed to elevate voices. It's supposed to help us have these uncomfortable conversations. Because you think, a lot of times people can't hear it, but they can watch it and receive it.
You know, when I did my directorial debut was Bourbon at the Border. Mm-hmm. And I was at every show, even though I wasn't necessarily watching, but I was there at every show to support the cast, but also thank everyone that was coming out. And at the end, every night, there was somebody who I had no clue who they were that were crying on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, I had people say, what can we do? You know, all of these questions that were coming out. And it's just like this. This is what the arts can do.
That's what the arts are for.
Guess what the art is
arts
for.
Arts are supposed to elicit conversation, elicit some kind of thought process. Mm-hmm. Because you're in this room for at least 2 hours.
Yes.
Where something can trigger your heart or trigger your mind to think different, to feel different, to act differently. That's a special place to be. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, it's a sanctuary, and the people that are on stage are the ministers or the preachers or the rabbis. We have the responsibility to elicit some sort of change. Mm-hmm. Positive or negative, it's a change.
Right.
Right.
And to introduce topics, taboo topics, there's just so much that we can do with the arts.
Right.
For sure.
But because we can't speak.
Right.
Without being, whether it's being shunned or somebody pulling us to the side saying you shouldn't be saying that.
Right.
So I would like to challenge everyone that has the opportunity to create a space that is conducive for people to be seen, heard, and received.
And it's genuine.
And it's genuine.
Not just to be checking off a box.
Right.
You genuinely want to hear what people have to say.
And then be able to receive it. Even if it makes you uncomfortable or the people in the room uncomfortable.
Wow. I think that kind of
that's heavy, right? You felt that?
Yeah,
I felt that.
It's heavy.
Yeah, I that sums up
this discussion.
Yeah, it does, and we don't always have to be comfortable
to move or to progress.
Yeah, because we're not going to.
Not going.
We're just going to be circling the airport.
Mm-hmm. Not going.
That's the definition of insanity. Going around expecting different results.
Exactly.
Right. Well, this has been another lively discussion.
That it has. That's reclaiming for you.
That is.
Reclaim
time to speak.
Yes.
And be heard.
Yes. And again, on behalf of Reclaiming Our Time Productions, special thanks to our engineer of the day, Mr. Paul Anderson II. You are appreciated. Well, until next time.
Until next time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Artistry Avenue, the intersection of theater and social issues. Artistry Avenue is a Reclaiming Our Time production. To learn more about Reclaiming Our Time, visit www.reclaimingourtime.org. That's reclaimingourtime.org. If you would like to share your stories or give us feedback, you can email us at reclaimingourtimethepodcast@gmail.com or call us at 984-401-0616. We look forward to hearing from you.